Sunday, 11:23-25. This is Body Worship Part 10. We're going to look at the rapture of the wicked. We've heard all of our Christian lies about the rapture. And anyway, we've been into some arguments with some people about the rapture. Well, we're going to look what the scriptures have to say. It does say we're going to meet him in the air, but it never says we're going to heaven. Let's take a look at that right quick. I didn't put that in this teaching, but I just kind of came up to me. Where is that? Where is that?
Meet him in the air. It's in 1 Thessalonians, I believe it's
1 Thessalonians. Okay.
Let me look it up real quick.
I think it's 2.
Yeah, no, it's 1 Thessalonians 4:16-17.
Okay, 1 Thessalonians 4:16-17 says, "The Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout." If you look at Revelation chapter 19, it shows Jesus coming with the armies of heaven on horses. "For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord." It says in a couple of places, and the angels told the disciples while they were looking, watching him go up, this same Jesus who, you know, left this way will come this way. So we're going to meet him in the clouds. "And so shall we ever be with the Lord." Doesn't say anything about going to heaven. According to other scripture, no, he's coming here to rule and reign. He's coming here to set up his kingdom on the earth. How's he going to do that? Through his church. But isn't it polite when someone comes, you go to meet them? "I'll meet them at the door," or "I'll meet you at this place." Yeah. It's amazing how it got stretched out and made to be what it isn't made. I think that the rapture theory is one of the most serious deceptions that the devil has ever put out there, because it made people forget about taking the gospel, and all they focus on is going to heaven. I hear them. I even hear podcasters that are Christians. They can't wait. We're just weary old pilgrims dragging through this life. We just can't wait to get to heaven. We're going to look in the scriptures about heaven. Okay, we're going to first start in Matthew 13. Every time I hear that, I just want to go, yeah, so heavenly minded, no earthly good. You know what I'm saying? We have a commission to do. Time to put them, unpack them suitcases, and whatever you think about it, it'll be what it'll be. If I'm wrong, it'll be what it's going to be, but at least you obeyed. You know, you don't hear much about going out and taking the gospel. Well, that's for the missionaries to do. That's why we send the missionaries out there. No, he said go into all the world. Well, you know, a missionary here and there can't do it. The Lord was upset about that whenever Oral Roberts had that vision. The main thing he was most upset about was the church hadn't taken the gospel. And he could name on one hand, the people that were actually obeying him and taking the gospel. And I think Reinhard Bonnke was one of them, or Rodney Howard Brown, I forget which one. The only ones, 5 out of the entire body of Christ. The missionaries do it. No, you do it. We were told to do it. He told his disciples, if you're a student of the word, you're a disciple. And so he said, you go into the world. He didn't say you had to go to Africa. He said, you go into your world, wherever I send you. It may be just down the street. Okay. Matthew 13. The same day, Jesus went out of the house and sat by the seaside, and great multitudes were gathered together unto him, so that he went into a ship and sat, and the whole multitude stood on the shore, and he spake many things unto them in parables, saying, behold, a sower went forth to sow. Now, I've told you many times, the Word of Faith people use this as getting things, but I'm telling you what, it ain't about getting things. It's about the gospel, the harvest of the world. And when he sowed, some seed fell by the wayside, and the fowls came and devoured them up. If we're sitting on our suitcases, how are we going to go sow? Some fell upon stony places where they had not much earth, and forthwith they sprang up because they had no deepness of earth. We're not told. You have to make sure that they accept it. It just says we're supposed to sow. The seed of the Word of God, we're to sow. And when the sun was up, they were scorched because they had no root, they withered away. You tell them, at least you told them. And I believe there's a record of every time you tell somebody about Jesus, there's a record. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprung up and choked them. But other fell into good ground and brought forth fruit, some 100-fold, some 60-fold, some 30-fold. Who hath ears to hear, let him hear. And the disciples came and said unto him, why speakest thou unto them in parables? And he answered and said unto them, because it is given unto you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it is not given. What is the mystery of the kingdom of heaven? Jesus Christ and him crucified. Christ within, the hope of glory. See, it's been hidden for all these generations, all these hundreds of years, until Jesus came. For whosoever hath, to him shall be given, and he shall have more abundance. But whosoever hath not, from him shall be taken away even that he hath. Therefore, speak I to them in parables, because they see not, hearing they hear not, neither do they understand. In them is fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah, which saith, by hearing ye shall hear and shall not understand, and seeing ye shall see and shall not perceive. For this people's heart is waxed gross, and their ears are dull of hearing, and their eyes they have closed, lest at any time they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears, and should understand with their heart, and should be converted, and I should heal them. God taking context what he's talking about here. He's not talking about getting things. For verily I say unto you, that many prophets and righteous men have desired to see those things which ye see, and have not seen them, and to hear those things which ye hear, and have not heard them. Hear ye therefore the parable of the sower. When anyone heareth the word of the kingdom, is that witnessing? Is that telling somebody about Jesus? And understandeth it not, then cometh the wicked one and catcheth away that which was sown in his heart. This is he which receiveth seed by the wayside. He that receiveth the seed into stony places, the same as he that heareth the word, and anon with joy receiveth it. Yet hath he not root in himself, but dureth for a while, for when tribulation or persecution arises because of the word, by and by he is offended. That took out the theology I was kind of under when I was a teenager. I went to a Baptist church. They believed in once saved, always saved. You could be a dirty old dog and do whatever you wanted to, but once you're saved, you're saved. Don't hold water, does it? He also that receives seed among the thorns is he that heareth the word, and the care of this world and the sickness of riches choke the word, and he becometh unfruitful. But he that receiveth seed into good ground is he that heareth the word and understandeth it, which also beareth fruit and bringeth forth some a hundredfold, 60, some 30. Another parable put he forth unto them, saying, the kingdom of heaven is like unto a man which sowed good seed in his field. But while men slept, his enemy came and sowed tares among the wheat and went his way. And when the blade was sprung up and brought forth fruit, then appeareth the tares also. So the servants of the household came and said unto him, sir, didst not thou sow good seed in thy field? From whence then hath it tares? And he said unto them, an enemy hath done this. The servant said unto him, wilt thou then that we go and gather them up? But he said, nay, lest while ye gather up the tares, ye root up also the wheat with them. Let both grow together until the harvest. In the time of harvest, I will say to the reapers, gather ye together first the tares and hand them in bundles to burn them, but gather the wheat into my barn. We just saw the rapture of the wicked here. Let me read that again. Gather ye first the tares and bind them in bundles to burn them, but gather the wheat into my barn. Another parable he put forth unto them, saying, the kingdom of heaven is like to a grain of mustard seed, which a man took and sowed in his field, which indeed is the least of all seeds, but when it is grown, it is the greatest among herbs and becometh a tree, so that the birds of the air come and lodge in the branches thereof. We should be. The gospel should be that tree that is safety for all. And another parable spake he unto them, the kingdom of heaven is like unto heaven, which a woman took, or leavened, which a woman took and hid in three measures of meal till the whole was leavened. See, that's the kind of leaven that we are supposed to be taking into the world, to leaven the enemy, to bring the gospel, to neutralize the enemy and bring the gospel. But it's been just the opposite. The devil has taken his agenda and he tried to overtake the world with it. All these things spake Jesus unto the multitude in parables, and without a parable spake he not unto them, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the prophet, saying, I will open my mouth in parables. I will utter things which have been kept secret from the foundation of the world. This is the talk about the mystery here. God is revealing through Jesus salvation to these people. Then Jesus sent the multitude away and went to the house, and his disciples came unto him, saying, declare unto us the parable of the tares of the field. He answered and said unto them, he that soweth the good seed is the Son of Man. The field is the world. The good seed are the children of the kingdom, but the tares are the children of the wicked one. The enemy that sowed them is the devil. The harvest is the end of the world, and the reapers are the angels. As therefore the tares are gathered and burned in the fire, so shall it be in the end of this world. There's the rapture of the wicked. The Son of Man shall send forth his angels, and they shall gather out of his kingdom all things that offend, and them which do iniquity, and shall cast them into a furnace of fire. There shall be wailing and gnashing of teeth. Then shall the righteous shine forth as the sun in the kingdom of their Father. Who hath ears to hear, let him hear. Yeah, you want to be the one left, not the one taken. Again, the kingdom of heaven is likened to treasure hid in a field, the which when a man hath found, he hideth, and for joy thereof goeth and selleth all that he hath and buyeth that field. That's the way this good news, this message is. It's so deep. It is like pearls that a man found that was worth so much money that he sold everything. In other words, he gave up his whole life in pursuit of it. Again, the kingdom of heaven is likened to a merchant man seeking goodly pearls, who when he had found one pearl of great price, went and sold all that he had and bought it. You know, the gospel, you have to give your life to it. You can't just put your toe in every once in a while when you got a problem. Again, the kingdom of heaven is likened to a net that was cast into the sea and gathered of every kind, which when it was full, they drew to shore and sat down and gathered the good into vessels, but cast the bad away. There's the rapture of the wicked. So shall it be at the end of the world. The angel shall come forth and sever the wicked from among the just. We be going nowhere, y'all. Unpack those suitcases. Get them gospel shoes on and get to walking. Get in the follow the Spirit. And shall cast them into the furnace of fire. There shall be wailing and gnashing of teeth. So if you're wanting to go in this rapture, you're going to go to hell in the flames. So you might be careful saying you want to go in the rapture. Because there ain't no rapture for the Christian. No, there's not. Jesus saith unto him, have ye understood all these things? They say unto him, yea, Lord. Then said he unto them, therefore every scribe which is instructed unto the kingdom of heaven is like unto a man that is a householder, which bringeth forth out of his treasure things new and old. And it came to pass that when he had finished this parable, he departed thence. So we can't just take our faith part out there and say, this is to get me a new car, get me the this or that or whatever I want. Uh-uh. Wasting our time on those kind of things. I'm not saying that you don't believe God by faith. But you know what? If you seek first the kingdom of God, which to me is making sure you're taking the commission, he'll see to you. If you don't care about your stuff or whatever, the Lord will just bless you just because he can. Just because he wants to. Because you're out there doing his business. But these, that their whole thing is the faith and confession. Nothing wrong with faith and confession in the right setting. But it's not what it's all about. Because most people use it to get things. Now if you want to use that for getting people born again, maybe you might be on to something then. Okay. Not once is it mentioned in Scripture that God will remove the righteous from the earth, but there are several Scriptures that indicate that there will be a rapture of the wicked. What does that word mean? Not mentioned in Scripture at all, so it is a man-made doctrine. The only thing Jesus instructed us to do is to catch men. He never mentioned a catching away. Okay, let's look at Luke 5. Verse 10. You know, if we arm ourselves with the fact that everywhere we go, looking for a place to put our hook in, knowing we may be the only Jesus that person ever sees or ever knows. You know, getting to where we have less missing of opportunity to catch men. Verse 10. And was also, okay, let me see here. And Jesus said, the latter part, and Jesus said unto Simon, fear not, from henceforth thou shalt catch men. In other words, you're not going to have to work night and day all night long and catch nothing, you know, just wearing yourself out trying to make a living. Now I'm going to put you to work taking the gospel of the kingdom. From now on, you're going to catch men. You're going to work for me. How many people would give up their big salary to take the gospel? Catch means to take alive. Take alive. It is certainly a false doctrine that has gotten men's minds to be caught away to heaven. Their own desires of forsaking taking the Great Commission. If the church was preoccupied with the Great Commission, then Jesus could come and establish his kingdom here, which is scriptural. The Lord's Prayer shows God's will in this. This is Matthew 6:10, just this one scripture. Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. So why? We're catching men to fill up the kingdom. This is the kingdom of heaven. Heaven on earth. Thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. I don't get it. Even when I, for many years, didn't believe in it. Then we had some friends that were so staunch in it, they wouldn't hear anything else. And I thought, well, maybe they're right. And the Word of Faith people, they all believed in the rapture. And I'm thinking. And then whenever I got away from all the indoctrination that I'd been under, I began to see the truth again. I said, Lord, you had me pegged right at first, didn't you? You were showing me the right way. It took doctrines of men to mess it up. Why would his kingdom come if we are just all going to be raptured out of here? Men have focused on self and not the commission. I've heard several Christian podcasters make statements like this. Oh, heaven is our home, and I can't wait to get there. We're just pilgrims trudging through this miserable earth. Jesus said this. This is Matthew 18. 28:18. You ever meet those kind of people? All they talk about is heaven, going to heaven, going to heaven, going to heaven, going to heaven. Now, if they're winning souls, I guess that's okay. But they're not winning souls. That's kind of like, I don't care about you. I just want out of here. Okay. Wait a minute. I got to get there just a second. It's 28:19-20. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Escape theology is steeped in body worship, I believe. It's about self-preservation. This is what God has to say about this nonsense. We just read in Matthew verse 41 about he's going to weed out all that offends. This is a bent sapling. A bent sapling is someone that's got wrong doctrine. Like God's doctrine, and then they embrace some other thing and they begin to branch off and make an ugly branch out here that distorts the tree, by the way, a bent sapling. A snare, a cause of displeasure or sin, of stumbling, thing that offends or a stumbling block. If God wanted us to abandon the earth and just let the wicked have it, then why did he restore the earth in Genesis 1? If it's gone, just let the devil have it in Genesis 1, why didn't he just... I mean, if we're just going to rapture out of here and just let the devil have it? Have you ever known God to ever just say, let the devil have it? We need to think logically about this. No, he made this earth, and he made it for man. Heaven is his home. And when if we pass away before Jesus comes and brings his kingdom here, he's prepared a place for us, it said. So there's a lot of mansions up there. Yeah, he has prepared us a place, but that isn't our home. If God wanted us to abandon the earth and just let the wicked have it, then why did he restore the earth in Genesis 1? When he saw the devastation, he said, light be. And he began to create. Revelation chapter 18 uses the same word, offend, from the beginning to the end here. This is 18. I didn't write down the verse, just a minute. The whole chapter really is about it. Okay, I'll just read it. All right, 18 of Revelation. Now after these things, I saw another angel come down from heaven, having great power, and the earth was lighted with his glory. He cried mightily with a strong voice, saying, Babylon the great is fallen, has become the habitation of devils, and the hold of every foul spirit, and the cage of every unclean and hateful bird, for all nations have drunk of the wine of the wrath of her fornication. The kings of the earth have committed fornication with her, and the merchants of the earth are waxed rich through the abundance of her delicacies. And I heard another voice from heaven saying, come out of her, my people, that you be not partakers of her sins, and that ye receive not of her plagues. Now he's talking about coming out of the beast system here. For her sins have reached unto heaven, and God hath remembered her iniquities. Reward her even as she rewarded you, and double unto her double according to her works. And the cup which she hath filled to her double. How much she hath glorified herself and lived deliciously, so much torment and sorrow give her. For she saith in her heart, I sit a queen, and am no widow, and shall see no sorrow. Therefore shall her plagues come in one day, death and mourning and famine, and she shall be utterly burned with fire, for strong is the Lord God who judgeth her. And the kings of the earth who have committed fornication and lived deliciously with her shall bewail her and lament for her when they shall see the smoke of her burning. God is destroying this. He's taking out the wicked. They're standing afar off for the fear of her torment, saying, alas, alas, that great city Babylon, that mighty city, for in 1 hour is thy judgment come. Then it goes on to talk about all the merchants, and there's going to be no more of their commerce, no more of what they've been doing under this ungodly system. No more. God's bringing his system here. And the merchants of the earth shall weep and mourn over her, for no man buyeth their merchandise anymore. Busted. He just told his people to come out of that system. Come out of that. The merchandise of gold and silver and precious stones, of pearls, fine linen, purple, silk, scarlet, all about getting money. And all fine wood and all manner of vessels of ivory, all manner of vessels of most precious wood and of brass and iron and marble. The love of money, the root to all evil. Cinnamon and odors and ointments and frankincense, wine and oil, fine flour and wheat. And beasts and sheep and horses and chariots and slaves and souls of men. The fruits that thy soul lusted after are departed from thee, and all things which were dainty and goodly are departed from thee, and thou shalt find them no more at all. If he was just going to just take us all the way to heaven, wouldn't he just leave them all down here to do whatever? That's not what he's doing. This is a cleanup operation. This is his earth. He made this earth for his man. This is our home. We need to speak highly of it. The merchants of these were made rich by her, shall stand far off for the fear of her torment, weeping and wailing and saying, alas, alas, that great city that was clothed in fine linen and purple and scarlet, decked with gold and precious stones and pearls. For in 1 hour so great riches is come to naught. And every shipmaster and all the company and ships and sailors and as many as trade by sea stood afar off and cried when they saw the smoke of her burning, saying, what city is like unto this great city? And they cast dust on their heads and cried, weeping and wailing, alas, alas, that great city, wherein were made rich all that had ships in the sea by reason of her costliness. For in 1 hour she made desolate. Rejoice over her, thou heaven, and ye holy apostles and prophets, for God hath avenged you on her. And a mighty angel took up a stone with a great millstone and cast it into the sea, saying, thus with violence shall that great city Babylon be thrown down and shall be found no more at all. Won't even be a sign that was even here. And the voice of harpers and musicians and of pipers and trumpeters shall be heard no more at all in thee, and no craftsman or of whosoever craft he be shall be found any more in thee. And the sound of a millstone shall be heard no more at all in thee. And the light of the candle shall shine no more at all in thee. And the voice of the bridegroom and of the bride shall be heard no more at all in thee. For thy merchants were the great men of the earth, for by thy sorceries were all nations deceived. And in her was found in the blood of prophets and of saints and of all that were slain upon the earth. This is the last cleanup. God has consistently throughout Scripture cleaned out the wicked. Like Noah, in the day of Noah, here's some resets. Noah, the Tower of Babel, Sodom and Gomorrah, Moses bringing the Israelites out of Egypt, Nebuchadnezzar, God used a wicked king to clean up wicked Israel, judge them, and he dealt with him. And then his son Belshazzar was taken down, and in came Darius and Cyrus, who are descendants of Esther, to bring God's people back into the place that they needed to be. If God is just going to take us to heaven, then why didn't he just let the wicked have it a long time ago? Isn't that kind of what's been going on over and over and over again? God lets it go so far, and then he takes care of it. No, we're not going to be going to heaven and just singing kumbaya, you know what I'm saying? God doesn't make any junk. He invested his very son, Jesus, in restoring the earth and mankind back to himself. Okay, we're going to look at some scriptures on that. This is Psalms 24, verse 1. The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, the world and they that dwell therein. Psalms 115:16. He made it for us. We need to take better care of it. 115:16. I believe the earth's a living. There's indications in Scripture that the earth is not just a rock. 115:16. The heaven, even the heavens are the Lord's, but the earth hath he given to the children of men. He's not going to just let the devil have it like most Christians are just willing to do. When he saw it in disarray in Genesis 1, he did something about it. It seems humans get tired of stuff and they just want to disregard it. Let's just put this old earth in a garage sale. We don't want to take care of it anymore. We want to go to heaven. We're all packed and ready to go. I hear people talking about going to heaven and leaving this old earth like it's disgusting, like garage sale fodder. No, it's our home. Okay, we're going to read some more scriptures. John 14. Verse 2. Jesus said here, "In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you, I go to prepare a place for you." For those that have gone on. Many, many have gone on before Jesus will establish his kingdom. But God has prepared a place for them. Till that time that we just read in Revelation. 2 Corinthians 5:6. Therefore, we are always confident, knowing that whilst we are at home in the body, we're absent from the Lord. Yeah. 2 Corinthians 5, this is verse 19 here. To wit, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. I don't know why I even put that one there. Let me start at verse 1. I'm not seeing really great through these glasses. I'm thinking I'm not seeing right. Okay. I read 6 to you. Therefore, we are always confident, knowing that whilst we're at home in the body, we're absent from the Lord. And then 2 Corinthians 5, 1 through 9. For we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, we have a building of God, and house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. For in this we groan, earnestly desiring to be clothed upon with our house that is from heaven. If so be that being clothed, we shall not be found naked. For we that are in this tabernacle do groan, being burdened, nor for that we would be unclothed, but clothed upon, that mortality might be swallowed up of life. Now he that hath wrought us for the selfsame thing as God, who also hath given unto us the earnest of the Spirit. Therefore we are always confident, knowing that whilst we're at home in the body, we are absent from the Lord, for we walk by faith, not by sight. We are confident, I say, and willing rather to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. Wherefore we labor, that whether present or absent, we may be accepted of him. Okay. 2 Timothy 4:18. And the Lord shall deliver me from every evil work, and will preserve me unto his heavenly kingdom, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. It's kind of like the way it was whenever the Old Testament saints passed away. They went to, paradise. The wicked went to Sheol, to hell. And so when Jesus came and he died, rose again, he took those saints with him, the righteous, Old Testament, and took them with him. And they went to heaven with him. Okay, let's see here. Revelation 21. Next time I hear somebody say, well, heaven is my home, I want to ask them, can you show me where that is in the scriptures? Right here. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men. He will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and they shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. Hebrews 13:14. There's all kinds of scriptures, I'll tell you. For here have we no continuing city, but we seek one to come. That's what we're waiting. We're waiting on the one to come. Here are the things that offends God, and he's going to remove them, not the Christians. Homosexuality, abortion, transgender, stealing, murder, lying, just to name a few. All that offends him, he will weed out. The earth has been given to men and not to those who offend. Romans chapter 1 is a very good, I'm not going to read it today, but it talks about homosexuality specifically, and even those who cheer them on. That they can laugh and they can think they're getting away with it because they are full of pride. That's the devil's main flaw, is his pride. He's still so prideful he thinks he's going to still best God. But anyway, that's what Romans 1 is talking about. God is not going to put up with it. There'll come a time where he'll say, okay, it's over. You know what? I am going to read it. There may be somebody listening to this that needs to hear this. I don't know how anyone could read this chapter and not see it. I'm going to start there with 16. For I'm not ashamed of the gospel, Paul says, of Christ. For it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness. In other words, their truth is unrighteousness. Because that which may be known of God is manifest to them, for God has showed it unto them. For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools and changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like unto corruptible man, and to birds and four-footed beasts and creeping things. See, this history of the earth, all these resets that have happened where God has gone in and delivered his people and killed out the unrighteous, it's all the same narrative. Same devil, same narrative. Wherefore God also gave them up to uncleanness, to the lust of their own hearts, to dishonor their own bodies between themselves. Who changed the truth of God into a lie, and worshiped and served the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. I'll tell you what, if homosexuality is not body worship, transgenderism, you can't get any more so. For this cause God gave them up unto vile affections, for even their women did change the natural use into that which is against nature. And likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust one toward another, men with men working that which is unseemly, and receiving in themselves that recompense of their error which was meet. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient. I saw a clip, and it just astonished me. It was a church. I don't even know what kind. And the priest had on the rainbow scarf. And there was transgenders all in the congregation. And the congregation did a pledge to the transgender. Right there in this church. About accepting them, and God accepts them, blah, 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 blah. And I'm thinking, what Bible are you reading from? God does not accept this. Being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity, whispers, backbiters, haters of God, despiteful, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, without understanding, covenant breakers, without natural affection, implacable, unmerciful, knowing the judgment of God, that they which commit such things are not worthy, that those that are worthy of death not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them. So those who do these things, and they make a blasphemy against God in what they do, and they will not repent, and they have people come on board to support them. Maybe they're not that, but they support them. They're all going to get the same judgment. You let them in, you let them infiltrate. I don't want the Lord getting on me, mad at me. You let this happen. We let this happen. We let this happen. What's the alternative? Taking the gospel. Taking the true message. Giving an opportunity to turn. Not to be ugly, but to bring it in a way that is compassionate, because they bought Satan's lie. Okay. The Christians that do not help with this cleanup, infiltration with the gospel, using their authority to keep the devil under our feet, God will not be happy with them. We just saw that. Time to get yourself off your mind, for the time is at hand. The fields are white for harvest. God will not be mocked, so beware. If we can't see it in this day, Scripture talks about the people's, they're blinded. Gross darkness. Okay, Luke. They just seem to adapt to whatever false doctrine comes down the path. This is Luke 12:35. Jesus said, "Let your loins be girded about and your lights burning." Christians that are stumbling blocks, you better beware. You best beware. Romans chapter 14, verse 13. "Let us not therefore judge one another anymore, but judge this rather, that no man put a stumbling block or an occasion to fall in his brother's way." Here's what a scandal is: a trap stick, a bent sapling, a snare, a cause of displeasure or sin, or another word is stub, occasion of apostasy. Here's what apostasy is: the total rejection of Christianity by a baptized person who at one time professed the Christian faith publicly and now publicly rejects it. The act of refusing to continue to follow or obey or recognize a religious faith, or a total desertion of or departing from one's faith, principles, or party. Heresy, on the other, it's different. It's rejection of one or more of the Christian doctrines. Okay? Let's look at 1 Corinthians 11. Verse 19 here. "But there must be also heresies among you, that they which are approved may be made manifest among you." See, they were dealing with it then. It's a work of the flesh right up there with witchcraft. Galatians 5:20, witchcraft. Okay, go to 2 Peter 2. Peter says here, he's talking about destruction for false teachers is a subtitle here. "But there were false prophets also among the people, even as there shall be false teachers among you, who privily shall bring in damnable heresies, even denying the Lord that bought them, and bring upon themselves swift destruction. And many shall follow their pernicious ways, by reason of whom the way of truth shall be evil spoken of. And through covetousness shall they with feigned words make merchandise of you, whose judgment now of a long time lingereth not, and their damnation slumbereth not. For if God spared not the angels that sinned, but cast them down to hell and delivered them into chains of darkness to be reserved unto judgment, and spared not the old world, but saved Noah, the eighth person, a preacher of righteousness, bringing in the flood upon the world of the ungodly, and turning the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah into ashes, condemned them with an overthrow, making them an ensample unto those that after should live ungodly, and delivered just Lot, vexed with the filthy conversation of the wicked. For that righteous man, dealing among them in seeing and hearing, vexed his righteous soul from day to day with their unlawful deeds. The Lord knoweth how to deliver the godly out of temptations, and to reserve the unjust unto the day of judgment to be punished. But chiefly them that walk after the flesh in the lust of uncleanness and despise government. Presumptuous are they, self-willed, they are not afraid to speak evil of dignities. Whereas angels, which are greater in power and might, bring not railing accusations against them before the Lord, but these, as natural brute beasts, made to be taken and destroyed, speak evil of the things that they understand not, and shall utterly perish in their own corruption, and shall receive the reward of unrighteousness, as they that count it pleasure to write in the daytime. Spots they are, and blemishes, sporting themselves with their own deceivings while they feast with you. Having eyes full of adultery that cannot cease from sin, beguiling unstable souls. In a heart they have exercised with covetous practices, cursed children, which have forsaken the right way and are gone astray, following the way of Balaam, the son of Beor, who loved the wages of unrighteousness. He was rebuked for his iniquity. The dumbass, speaking with man's voice, forbade the madness of the prophet. These are wells without water, clouds that are carried with a tempest, to whom the midst of darkness is reserved forever. For when they speak great swelling words of vanity, they allure through the lust of the flesh, through much wantonness, those that were clean escape from them who lived in error. While they promise them liberty, they themselves are the servants of corruption. For of whom a man is overcome, of the same is he brought in bondage. For if after they have escaped the pollutions of the world through the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, they are again entangled therein and overcome, the latter end is worse with them than the beginning. For it had been better for them not to have known the way of righteousness than, after they have known it, to turn from the holy commandment delivered unto them. But it has happened unto them according to the true proverb, the dog is turned to his own vomit again, and the sow that was washed to her wallowing in the mire. When it comes to homosexuality and transgender, people have totally crossed over the line, and because they love their child or whoever, they embrace it, knowing it isn't right. That's what he's talking about here. Jesus is going to separate the sheep from the goats. We read that a while ago, Matthew 31 through 32. Oh, we're just all God's children. And, you know, God wouldn't do that. Well, let's just wait and see. I believe it will. 2 Corinthians 6, 17. Wherefore, come out from among them, and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you, and will be a father unto you, and ye shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. Not those that just do whatever they want. Oh, we're just all God's children. No, that's not what the scripture says. I don't know what Bible you're reading. Separate means to rend apart. In other words, you make a clean break with those people. Clean break. You can't run with them. You just can't. You may love them. You can pray for them. That's what I was finding fault with my family, with the situation we're dealing with. When you invite them to everything, they begin to think everybody accepts them, and that leavens the whole lump. Well, you don't think God would send him to hell, do you? Yeah, I think he would. Jude 17. But beloved, remember ye the words which were spoken before of the apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ, how that they told you there would be mockers in the last time, who would walk after their own ungodly lust. These be they who separate themselves sensuous, having not the Spirit. It's called succumbing to the ways of the world, being infiltrated with the ways of the world, having your minds renewed with the ways of the world and not the Word of God. The only way any of us will leave this earth will be if we die before Jesus comes to rule and reign. I consider heaven God's domain, and so does he. And he has made some provisions for those that have passed on, but the earth is also their permanent home. When he comes, he's bringing them all with him. God is bringing them to us. He's coming to stay to rule and reign forever. This is Revelation chapter 19. Just a few scriptures here. Revelation 19:11-14. And I saw heaven open, and behold, a white horse. He that sat upon him was called Faithful and True. In righteousness he doth judge and make war. His eyes were as a flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns, and he had a name written that no man knew but he himself. And he was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God. And the armies which were in heaven followed him upon white horses, clothed in fine linen, white and clean. And out of his mouth goeth a sharp sword, that with it he should smite the nations. He shall rule them with a rod of iron, and he treadeth the winepress of the fierceness of wrath of God Almighty. And he hath on his vesture and on his thigh a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And I saw an angel standing in the sun. He cried with a loud voice, saying to all the fowls that fly in the midst of heaven, come and gather yourselves together unto the supper of the great God. This is the marriage supper of the Lamb. No, it's that we're going to be raptured out, and for 7 years we're going to have a meal up in heaven while the Antichrist is tearing everything up down here. That's what we were taught. There is no scripture to back any of that up. No, he's coming, and he is going to right here. He's going to weed out the wicked out of this place. That ye, these fowls, are going to eat the flesh of kings, the flesh of captains, the flesh of mighty men, the flesh of horses, of them that sit on them. And the flesh of all men, both free and bond, both great and small. There's that rapture of the wicked. Jesus talked about it in the parables I read to you earlier. Where you catch all these fish, you pick the bad ones out. God is removing the wicked. This is Matthew. We'll go to Matthew 24:36. But of that day and hour knoweth no man, no, not the angels of heaven, but my Father only. But as the days of Noah were, so also the coming of the Son of Man be. For as in the days that were before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, until the day that Noah entered into the ark. And knew not until the flood came and took them all away. Did Noah get removed? No. They did. They were removed. So shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. Then shall two be in the field, the one shall be taken, the other left. To one shall be grinding at the mill, the one shall be taken, the other left. You want to be the one that's left. Watch therefore, for you know not what hour your Lord doth come. But know this, that if the goodman of the house had known, and what watch the thief would come, he would have watched and would not have suffered his house to be broken up. Jesus is going to come as a thief for the wicked, but not for the righteous. Okay, getting tired of reading. So God didn't take Noah out. He provided a place of safety for him. He floated above all the bad stuff that was going on. But God removed the wicked. It's time to unpack your suitcases and get that extinguished light relit. And get to working on taking the gospel. Get gospel-minded, taking it wherever you go. There are no free rides anymore. All will answer to God for what they did or did not do. I've read all of these parables so many times. This is Matthew 25, right over here. It's talking about the virgins. Five were ready, five were not. Five missed it, five made it. Okay, let me see where I was. Okay. God doesn't have any welfare programs. Just a couple of scriptures here. Matthew 5:16. Says, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Philippians 2:15. That ye may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God, without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom ye shine as lights in the world. I'm looking forward to the day. You know, I'm looking forward to that day. I really am. But you know what? For those that have stayed at their post and kept their lights burning, it, you know, you get weary, you get ready for the Lord to come. But you have to think it in that there's so many wicked around us that have no clue. Okay. Let's see what else I have. Just a couple more and we'll be done. Matthew 22. Jesus answered verse 1 and spake unto them again by parables and said, the kingdom of heaven is likened to a certain king which made a marriage for his son, and he went, set forth his servants to call them that were bidden to the wedding, and they would not come. Again he sent forth other servants, saying, tell them which are bidden, behold, I have prepared my dinner. My oxen and my fatlings are killed, and all things are ready, come into the marriage. But they made light of it and went their ways, and one to his farm, another to his merchandise, and the remnant took his servants and entreated them spitefully and slew them. But when the king heard of thereof, he was wroth, and he sent forth his armies and destroyed those murderers and burned up their city. Then saith he to his servants, the wedding is ready, but they which were bidden were not worthy. Go ye therefore into the highways, as many as ye shall find, bid to the marriage. So those servants went out into the highways and gathered together all as many as they found, both bad and good, and the wedding was furnished with guests. And when the king came in to see the guest, he saw there a man which had not on a wedding garment. And he saith unto him, friend, how camest thou in hither, not having a wedding garment? And he was speechless. Then said the king to the servants, bind him hand and foot and take him away. Cast him in outer darkness, there shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth, for many are called, but few are chosen. Okay, one more, and we'll be done. This is Matthew 25 again. I read the whole parable. This portion is about the one with the talents, the one that was faithful. God gave them something to do, and they did it. And there was one that didn't. And he didn't get any reward. It says, verse 30, and cast ye the unprofitable servant into outer darkness. There should be weeping and gnashing of teeth. The scripture is full of there's punishment. There is a rapture of the wicked going to punishment. There's not a rapture of us going to heaven. If you can find it, I challenge you. Find it and let me know.